what we have been teaching, this is a family tree, going back out to the time of Brother Branham over there and trying to show Brother Branham's place, Brother William Branham's place, as well as the prophets and the others, that people might have a thorough indoctrination of what God's doing and not be misled in this thing concerning our Brother Branham, who was a great prophet, and concerning the others in the Bible that had to do with this. Now, a lot of people in following Brother Branham, they've gotten the wrong understanding, and it's really causing a lot of conflict in the religious world. But I believe that you that have followed us in these teachings, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe that you can say that you understand what he is and where he is and what he's doing. And these things that I tell you, that we also have some printed proof of if you'd like to see them. So if you're in doubt still, if you can't take God's word for it, well, if you're intellectual, we got some printed proof for you. So then you see that these things are written for our admonition, as the prophet of old said, and we want to observe them. And we come now all the way from Adam, carefully surveying the Old Testament in our pilgrimage there with the patriarchs of old. We've slowly but surely come over to Isaac, and when we got to Isaac, we kind of went out off here on a trail of revelation, because we already had taught those things from Adam down to Canaan land, carefully, and put them on 12 tapes. And these tapes, we are carefully surveying the natural type and shadow of the formula of the Old Testament teachings, which Paul said was Christ within the veil, and which he called allegories, or types, shadows, or revelation. And so then the revelation is within the veil, just as the grain is within the husk. And so then we're taking the natural type, the symbol, or what you would refer to as the husk, and we're bringing the grain up that we might be able to feed upon it. Now, I brought out the other night what happens to the prodigal son. And we got it on tape, and all these previous teachings we've got on tape, bringing us right in line, step by step, up to where we're at. And now let's pick up right here, and this is going to be a little hard for some that's not been with us here, but let's pick up right here and see if we can continue on with the revelation teaching here, if the Lord will allow, and concerning this family tree right here, till we can bring some of this to an end, and then as we get into other phases of it, we'll relate back to it to try to bring out these different things. But let's continue on with this, and remember, we're right at the point where Isaac took Rebekah and unveiled her, and we will get back to our natural types and shadows and continue on with them as we head for Canaan land. But let's just take this now, and remember, we started off with Brother Branham. We started off in 1946 when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and how the Jews that had been cast out of their homeland began to return back, and Brother Branham came, you remember, with the great pillar of fire, which was the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel back yonder in the days when they come out of Egypt and through the wilderness and right on into the Canaan land, which was the angel of the Lord going before this great prophet as it went before the prophet in that day. Now then, I want you to especially notice tonight, as we pointed out, Brother Branham here, when that great pillar of fire come, remember we said a pillar of fire, we said a pillar of fire is an angel. In spiritual revelation, it's an angel, and we refer to a pillar of fire as a star, because the sun is a great ball of fire, and it is a star. And a star is a symbol in revelation of an angel. And they lifted up the old six-pointed star on the flag back in David's time in the Canaan land over there, which was called the morning star in his symbol. It was a type. The morning star, Jesus Christ, the pillar of fire leading the church out in the morning operation of God, the morning star, the bright and the morning star. And then we find him over here in our day as the evening star. But remember, God reckons time from evening till morning, so the going down thereof was in the wilderness, and the coming up was over here, which makes him the morning star. The last being first, and the first being last, the resurrection of this hour. And remember, when God began to resurrect the church after that great thing of the time where they went into Babylon and the breach between the Old and New Testament and all these things, of the dark age that the church came through, you find here God begins to restore. He said, I restore what the cankerworm has eaten, that which the locust has consumed, and the years of the primal worm has gotten, and so forth. And he started a restoration with Martin Luther. But remember, we are acquainted now with Brother Branham here as it comes up in our hour. We use it as a family tree. And we do go back to Martin Luther and the others to bring it down just as what happened. And we will say this, that coming out of the age of Catholicism, remember we had the Lutheran age, which was the Reformation age. We called it the Protestant age because Martin Luther protested against the Catholic teachings and stood in what they called the Council of Worms, put up his thesis, nailed him on the door, and there defied the Catholic order and said the just shall live by faith and started what we call a justification by faith. That was the first great cycle. And then later we find that John Wesley came along in the great second great cycle, which was sanctification, and began to teach sanctification. And then the third great cycle of it was in this day, which we accredit to Brother Branham, even though Brother Branham never taught this, as far as stating the way I'm fixing to state it, yet his ministry pointed to it. And we accredited to Brother Branham, the last great cycle was glorification. Now the just shall live by faith, and the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the move of Martin Luther. And then the Bible teaches that God has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree, which was the move of Wesley. And then the Bible teaches that those that he has predestinated, he also justified, he glorified, and sanctified, he has glorified them, the Bible said. Therefore, having been glorified, just as we've been justified and sanctified, the Bible said we are complete in him. Now, none of these things are effective in the church until we believe them. And we can't believe that which we haven't heard, can we? We have to first wait until we can hear it, and God will not let us hear it until the season fact, because the truth is never accepted out of season. Therefore, God proportionally unveiling the truth, the revelation of his great mind proportionally in each age, coming down to us from age to age, God unveils it. And then as he does, we receive the preaching of it through the fivefold ministry that's set there to perfect the church. That's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish that he's coming back after. And we find that as the ministry brings these truths out, then God revelates them in their season, that is to say, moves the veil as we receive this in part from glory to glory, being changed in the glorious image of Jesus Christ, which is the rapture. Now we get carried away on the word rapture, which is not in the Bible, it's catching away, and we use the word rapture because it means to catch away, and therefore really it's really the change, Paul says, change from revelation to revelation into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, which is the rapture, for he said, you're out of this world, I have chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution, the restoring of all things, which is the great millennium. And the word millennium is not in the Bible. That means a thousand years reign. So then we see proportionally God revealed our justification, and then in its season, sanctification, and as the great foreknowledge of God, which is the mind of God, reveals itself proportionally, our minds are transformed by the renewing thereof as we compare spiritual things with spiritual, our carnal veil of human thinking fading away as it is replaced by the God mind. Remember, the carnal mind is death because it is the beast mind that was instigated in the garden, but coming to Adam and brought his body and soul into the beast realm of captivity. But then when God came along as the Word made flesh, he died, he took away the veil, he smote it at Calvary, rent the fleshly veil, which veil ye are, and he took that which was the holies of holies, the kingdom of God within you, placed the mind of God within you, and started Calvary proportionally restoring that which the carnal mind had gotten. And so then we come now into the fullness of it here, which is the glorification age, and when our minds are fully transformed, then we will, that will be the immediate change. Now remember, the rapture is taking place and the world doesn't see it. Jesus preached to the world in parabolic form, and without a parable, the Bible said he spake not unto the people. So when the fivefold ministry is preaching to the world, everything they're saying is types and shadows, which is parabolic form, and therefore it is not given to the world to understand the revelation, which is the mysteries of God, which he said would be finished at the last sounding of the trumpet. And And now we see the sound of the trumpet, which is not the voice of man. For if I sound a trumpet, that's my voice. If you sound a trumpet, that's your voice. And there was trumpets sound through the church age. But the Bible said, when the great trump of God, which is not a man's voice, nor a ministry, but the voice of Jesus Christ himself, when this great voice, the trump of God, begins to sound through the church, then he said the revelation would come, and the mysteries of God would be finished, and unto you, he said, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the world it's not given. Now, why isn't it given to the world? Because if they knew the mysteries, it would rapture them or translate them. Therefore, it's not given to them, but it's given to them in parabolic form to receive the blessings of God, the kindness of God, the prosperity of God, the health of God. It is God showing himself through the veil, just as the sun reflects its mercy through the moon. It comes down to us, and therefore, we receive the merciful portions of it as the moon catches the blasting heat of it. Now, but here's the thing, the church world, we who are considered in the realm of the moon, man, we'll have faith to draw something over here where we can stay with us. Now, the world is catching the mercy of God through us, is that right? But one day the moon is not going to stand between the sun and the earth. Now watch and see, there's going to be a change. All right, now there's so much tonight that I'd like to bring out. And I can't. It's kind of like today we bought some blocks for the church from up here at Jackson. Hey, we're Stonewall Jackson. Amen. We're building a wall out here, and we bought some blocks from Jackson up here. And we especially noticed the stones that was taken from the moon while we was up there. And maybe you perceive something in what I'm saying tonight if you're spiritually minded. But anyway, the Bible said a little stone was hewn out of the mountain. It came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And they're going to be surprised at what those moonstones do to the earth by bringing them into this atmosphere. Just wait and see if I'm telling you right. All right, now then, let's notice this. We're coming to the family tree. First, I want Brother Taylor to come over here. And I want him to draw some. We got a cross over there, but I want him to draw us right here, a sun and a moon. And the earth here, draw us these three things right here, and I'll try to point out to you as much as I can, as hurriedly as I can, in these things, so as not to hold you too late and yet not to confuse you, to give you enough to where you can kind of understand what we're saying here. All right, now, we've got three great bodies here of the galaxies, and I want you to especially notice the three. First of all, the sun shining through the moon comes down right here to the earth. And we've got three bodies. We've got the fire. Here is a ball of fire, which is the sun. And then we got the moon, which is heat. And then we got the earth, which gets the rays, which is light. So it's fire, heat, and light. God always does things in a trinity of three and one. It's all fire. Just like we would say that we have snow coming down, it would be snow, ice, and rain with all the water. Is that right? It would be the same thing. Snow, ice, and rain, but it's all water. And so it's fire, heat, and light, but it's all fire. All right, now, God doing this, if he can see this in types and shadows, the Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork, and all of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, which means everything will be unveiled in the last days to show that it is God within the veil, that everything is a testimony of Christ. And so, in the heavens, it declares his handiwork, so that we're without excuse, and these types and shadows point to the spiritual things, the natural points to the physical, and the physical, here's the natural, gene, water, natural 4,000 years, Catholic, the blood, the physical 2,000 years, and the Protestants so all the same age, and then the millennium spirit, 1,000 years spiritual, and so forth. Now, these 1, 2, 3, we don't have time to explain this, we will later, 1, 2, 3 here, if you can see them, now these things point right here. They point to this, God the Father, and then Jesus Christ on the cross, which is the human veil, and then the people of the world out here. And remember, the cross is where the church is. Can you understand what I'm saying here? The cross is where the church is. And remember, even as this shows the church in the outer man, which is the natural body, the veil, so does it show the church of the inner man, which is the raptured bride, or the saints of God, the sons of God. And we went into it the other night to show the sons of God and the... How many remember how we brought that out about the sons of God and the bride and showed that they're all in one, just like there's three in one here? Show how that it's all wrong. Was that clear the other night? I don't see how anybody could have missed that as clear as we tried to make it. Now, there's a lot of feuding around the world about it, and that thing used to press on my mind until God revealed it. And then I saw that every one of them is just straining at swallowing the camel is what they're doing. Because it's all, and it's the same thing. It's just wrong. But now I want you to notice here now, and this is getting a little bit jumbled up, but we're putting so much on the board here, but I'm trying to keep this out of before that you might keep an input out of your mind so that we won't lose you in these teachings. I have to talk so fast that I can't hardly clarify things, and that's why we're catching you on tape so that you go back and listen carefully, play it over and stop it and do a lot of thinking. All right, now notice the other night Brother Taylor drew the cross here, and then he drew a grave, and then he drew hell, and then he drew paradise. And he showed how that when the veil was rent twain right here at Calvary, Jesus Christ the flesh, to let the inner God out, made himself two, which means twain. And when it was rent twain, we showed how that the body which was the Jew went into the grave, out of the presence of God, cast into the outer darkness, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, the children of the kingdom. That is in David's day, the kingdom cast into the outer darkness. And then they came from the east and the west. Jesus said they would do this to set down in the place of the children of the kingdom, which was the Gentiles, that was translated into the marvelous kingdom of our God, so the Bible tells us. And the children were cast down and went through that great trouble wherein Eichmann slaughtered them, and there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now remember, this that applies to the Jew in the natural will apply to the church in the spiritual, and there will be a spiritual weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth someday when we are cast out of the mind of God if we are not servants of the Most High God. For in the mind of God is heaven and light and happiness. Out of the mind of God is darkness, chaos, trouble, death, and confusion. And the Jews were cast out of the mind of God so far as the natural, and they went through this. And then the soul of Jesus, which typified the Gentile people, went into hell, remember? And that is the dark age, going through the dark age. Remember, one denotes Palestine, one denotes Rome, and then the Protestant age over here denotes paradise, which is the church and religious age. And so then those that went into hell were signified through the dark age by the spilling of blood, when the soul of the people, remember it was Jesus' soul, the church's soul that went through hell, and these people that showed the soul of him went through the dark age, and their blood was spilled, and they were literally tortured to death. And then these that went over to Pentecost, where they come through Pentecost, that signified paradise over there, where they come out in the Protestant age. For God withheld Pentecost, and he just gave us a preview of it here, and he withheld it to bring it out in this last day, which is the Protestant age. You understand what I'm saying now? This is the Protestant age, for he poured out his spirit in the last days, and this is the last days. But now the pouring out was at Pentecost, but he let it die out, just giving us a preview that he might manifest it in the last days. So the church will be perfected. Now look at it right here. The Jew, letter, Palestine, 4,000 years allotted to them up to the cross. All right, now, 2,000 years, we got this in 2,000 years spans to begin with. 2,000 years coming down from Adam in the garden over there to Noah. That's 2,000 years. That's the letter age. And then 2,000 years from Noah over to Jesus Christ the cross. That's the blood age. And then 2,000 years from the Lord Jesus Christ over to the coming of the millennium, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus, which is the spiritual age of the Protestant age. So we call it the Jew age by religion, the Catholic age, and the Protestant age. But the thing I want you to notice is there could be 2,000 years here, 2,000 years here, and 2,000 years here, yet there'd be 2,000 years to each one of these, yet the dark age, which we call the middle age, beginning from the cross and coming over to the Protestant age, and the Protestant age together, that's but one age. And God divided it into two ages to give us a symbol, a type and a shadow, for the millennium is really the third age. So it's really 4,000 years to the Jew from Adam to the cross, and 2,000 years from the cross to the coming of the Lord, and 1,000 years in the millennium. So we type it out like this by saying that God deals with the Jews in fours, 4,000 4,000 years from Adam unto the cross, and for 40 years in the wilderness, 400 years in Egypt and so forth, always the number 4, and then with the Catholics, which is really the Catholic and the Protestant age here, a dual age, dealing with them in twos. They want two wives, and one to play around with them. They want two cars, one to drive and one to, they call a bug, and then they want two hands, one to frolic in, and one to stay off, two children, a boy and a girl, and that's all they want. And so they want two incomes, and one to pay the bills with, and one to spend or save. That's the Protestant age, and so God divided it into a plane here, which is the rending of the veil. That's 2,000 years he deals with them in twos. And then with the church, which is the millennium, he deals with them in one faith, one God, one baptism, 1,000 years. So that's the millennium age. Now, so remember, this 2,000 years here is divided into two parts, that God might take the last part, the Protestant age, and give us a symbol of the millennium. But really, the millennium is the age that we're looking forward to. So then the church age begins from Calvary, and it comes over a span of 2,000 years. Now, beginning with Pentecost, where the church was set up and died out, and coming over in the last days, where Pentecost triumphs again. Now, how many of you know that Pentecost over here took over the world and become the religion of the world? Is that right? I predicted a number of years ago that it would take over the world again and become the chief religion of today. Already we found out, I believe, that we've got a great deal of Pentecostal people in the government, and we find that Pentecostal preachers are becoming the mayors of the city. I know two right off hand. And so then Pentecost is taking over the world, and when it takes over the world, it will become formal and cold without the Spirit of God, and it will turn back into the Catholic age just like it did over there. And it'll be the clearest regime that's ever been on earth. Now, it will be Antichrist age coming in. There'll be no Pentecost to it. All right, now then, if you can understand what we're saying here, and I know I'm going kind of fast, but notice that the Lord Jesus here, his body becoming a trinity here, where God dissects it here at Calvary, the body goes into the grave to show the Jews, going into the grave, for remember he was there 2 days, and he comes out on the third day, which is the millennium. All right, 2,000 years from Calvary, a day is 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is a day. 2,000 years from Calvary, 2 days with God, and the Jew is in the grave, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come forth in the millennium year, which is on the Sabbath day, in the resurrection. They're coming out right now. They're turning back to their homeland. We're getting near the end of the 2,000 years, the 2 days that they're out of the mind of God. Remember, feeling the wrath of God. Jesus here, out of the mind of God, dying out of the mind of God, that we might live in the mind of God. And the Catholics here, which is the soul realm, the real true people going through that whole realm, which is the Roman powers, which is the evil, that they go through, the prison that they go through there. Remember, these also coming out in this 2,000 years, how that shows that thing that's coming out of the Catholic age here. And then over here in paradise, which is the Protestants, remember at Pentecost that were cast out of the presence of God 2,000 years, and here they come. Remember, the Spirit was the church that went back to God who gave it birth, the Bible said, which was the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the church, raptured. And then the soul went into hell for the Bible said he suffered not his Holy One to remain well, or so remain well, suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, which is the Jew over here, before they turn to the corruptible things of the world, God will redeem them, which means the church world, there is near corruption right now. The skin worms of evil spirit will never get into the church. Remember this now, though the skin worms devour my body, Job said, and the Jews denoting the body, the church world, that is the body, the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ, will never see worldly corruption, never see spiritual corruption. It will get near it, but now having worked with an undertaker, I know that after 3 days the body sees corruption. God didn't leave it alone that long. So it only needed 2,000 years, and the skin worms of evil spirits, though they will start to work in this body, yet God will bring it forth before it corrupts right here. In that, after that 2 days of 2,000 years, into the millennium, which is the Sabbath. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then, now he dissected it at Calvary and put it into a trinity. Now you can see why the church hasn't been raptured. Now watch real close and you'll see why God has never been able to rapture the church. As long as the church is divided into a trinity right here, they will preach three gods. That's why God divided it that way, so they preach three gods, the trumpet giving an uncertain sound, so the others can't prepare themselves to the battle. All right, now, a trinity here, but watch what's happening now. All right, now, from Calvary, we see here a dissecting into a trinity. You understand that, what I'm saying? You follow me? All right, now, it was dissected into a trinity, just like I would take a telescope and pull one in out and then another in. I got three parts of the telescope. All right,
Now then, it projected itself from 12 ring over to the millennium, over to the Protestant age, which is the church coming in this type of paradise. America being a symbol of Canaan land. Alright, now then, when it gets over here, the church of the three parts is divided and they cannot come together, they cannot be raptured until a certain time. Now, when he dissected it, he gave the blood to the sage right here. You follow me? The blood was given to the sage because it symbolizes fire hell. Alright, now then, notice this age right here. This age right here, which is the water age, the water was given to the Jew because it takes water for the natural world to live. Then the spirit was given to the angelic age, which is the Protestant age, for they that be planted for the resurrection are equal to the angels that cannot die, which means spirit, angels of spirit. Notice this right here. You follow me? Now, notice one of them is water, one of them is blood, and one of them is spirit. That's the one of sin. One of them is water to the Jew, which is Palestine. The other is blood to the Catholic, which is the dark age over there alone, and the other is spirit to the church, which is the Protestant age over here, a type of the millennium of what we call the angelic age. And then later on when we get to John, some more things that we will show you just as after how it shows heaven, earth, and hell, the three parts of the world. But right now, let's stay with this so we can get this clear right now. All right, now, as you see this thing divided into three parts right here, God divided into three parts. All right, now we have three kind of religions today. We've got Billy Graham, which is a symbol of the Jesus teaching water. They believe in the Baptist church that the entrance into the church is through water. You have to be baptized into the church. All right, that's your Jew part for every bit of it is shown in the United States. All right, in the next religion right here, we've got what we call a Pentecostal people, that are a Trinity that teaches the blood. That's all they ever talk about is the redemption by the blood, and they have less with the water, but I don't feel like you really got to be baptized to get to heaven. So they teach the blood, and these people are in the same realm where Earl Roberts is. He's their great champion, just like Billy Graham is the great champion of the other. Then we have another great body, which believed in the Spirit, and their champion was William Branham of the sage, a great champion of the sage. They believed in the Spirit. All right, now then we got three different bodies here divided that shown in the United States. Just like it's all over here, to see it, Jew, Catholic, and Protestant, so forth, we see them all in the United States working in a division. Now, this shows the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ and the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, man is made in God's image by the soul and spirit, not three gods, but three in one. And you see here, in this great division, you see the separation, and the church can never be raptured as long as it's like that. It will never be raptured. Now, you say, Brother Pike, will it come together? It absolutely will come together. If it don't come together, I'm a liar in a world of truth within me. It will come together. Watch and see. All right, now, it will come together in an antitype to begin with because it was separated and dissected in antitype. And everything that happens in antitypes means antichrist, which is only a symbol of the truth. It was separated because Protestants and the Trinity teaching people and others that follow in a type of Pentecost are one and the same, whether you believe it or not. They're all going to wind up in the National Council of Churches. Now, watch and see. Now, it came out of the Jew as a Catholic, and then it came out of the Catholic as a Protestant, for Martin Luther came right out of the Catholic age. Now, look at it. The Jew started, and from that comes the Catholic Church. Is that right? And then the Catholic Church, take history and see if it's right. Then the Catholic Church comes to an end, and then comes the Protestant Church. From Martin Luther. Now, dissect it, and it will go back together for this age. The Protestant age will emerge into the Catholic age, and the Catholic age will emerge into the Jew age, and they'll all be one. Watch and see. It'll be Benjamin in the Jew age coming over to Joseph in the Protestant age, and the ten brethren over here in the Catholic age coming for out of Judah will come out of Christ and its symbol over among the ten brethren, which is the children of Leah, the fourth son of Leah. So then, we see that they all will come back together. The body, which is the Jew, and the soul, the spirit, which is the Protestant age, will go back into the soul, which is the Catholic age, and the soul with the life within it will go back into the body for the resurrection to show those 2 days in the end when the body leaves the grave, become both in the middle of the room, over here in that age with the fish and the mysteries of God. Is that right? All right, now then, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seed of angels, and caught up into heaven. No glory. All right, now then, notice in the dissecting here is the three parts. Now, it will go back together in that confederation of churches. At the same time, God will sift each one of these realms, just like a woman sifts fire, and out of each one of these realms, the elect will come out, and they will come together as a great unit, body, soul, and spirit, and that will be the church coming into the three baptisms, one baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, the water is the cleansing of the body, that's the Jewish part, the outer parts, and then the soul part, redemption by the blood, with the shedding of blood, personified through the name of the Lord Jesus by baptism into the grave, and the water or the blood to the soul, and then the spiritual infilling of the Holy Ghost, for by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. And so then the offer will come together in three baptisms, which is really one baptism. But the Bible said one baptism, it's three in one, body, soul, and spirit. These three great things coming together to make one great unit, or one great body. Now he said, leave out the outer courts. Is that right? Don't measure the outer courts. Now the measuring rod is the word of God. Weighing the balance and spine running, measured. He told the prophet, don't take the word of God to the Jew. That is, don't measure him yet. Don't take the word of God to the Jew, which is the outer court, until the Gentiles has completed their dispensation, and when they trample down the Jews like Eichmann did until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled, then he said, we will redeem the outer courts. That is, we will resurrect the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after I've dealt with the spirit, which is the Protestant age, the heavenly age, the angelic age, and the Catholic age, which is the soul age. Then we'll deal with the Jew, which is the body age, for these two will go back into the Jew in the time the Antichrist goes to make a covenant with the Jew. All right, now all of this can be seen. I brought this out the other day, and I'm going to say it again here if you can follow me in it. The Pope of Rome is a symbol of God in the earth, and whatever he does, it is God in action and symbol. Therefore, when the Jews crucified Jesus, and really they didn't crucify him, for he said it's not lawful for us to put a man to death, but at any rate, they said, let his blood be upon us, and the Catholic Church or the Roman powers put him to death. Now, when they did this, because they cried, let his blood be upon us, then the blood of God's wrath was upon him, and Eichmann slayed him, and there was nothing but trouble. Now, but recently the Pope went over to the rabbi of the Jews and told him, said, we know that you did not crucify Jesus, but we are guilty of the blood of Jesus, and we ourselves have crucified him. Now remember this, Joseph kept punishing the brethren because the brethren had cast him into that pit and caused, which was a symbol of Jesus in the grave, and caused him all this trouble in the dungeon and so forth. We bring it on tape, the life of Joseph. But remember, Joseph could constrain himself no longer when Benjamin came, because Benjamin shows the Jews it's over there now, but we'll come to the Protestant, this Protestant thing where the confederation of churches will come together, and Joseph, which is a miracle, will never accept the 10 brethren over here that sold him into his trouble and cast him into the pit, so to speak, of his Catholic Church, until they get the Jew, because the Protestant people know that God's with the Jew, but they don't know that God's with the Catholic people. And so it was when Benjamin comes in, that confederation of churches and an international thing will be just right. All right, but notice now, when Benjamin came, Joseph couldn't refrain himself any longer. He run the Gentiles out in its symbol. Their days were fulfilled as the church was, and he turned to his brethren, which symbolized the Jew. He already had the bride, which is that woman down there in Egypt that he had married, taken from among the Gentiles, like David did with Beersheba, a symbol of the bride. All right, now, how many of you know that Isaac over there dwelt at Beer-lehi-roi, over there, and he dug a well called Sheba, and they called it Beersheba, is that right? Beersheba, when that son came, he came from Beersheba over there, is that right? Showing the kingdom age of Solomon the bride. All right, now notice this right here, and we'll get to that in the teaching sometime, but notice this right here now. They will go back together, they will come.
come back together. We're united as one great body. And since the Pope has told the Jew that the blood is no longer required at his hand, now then God's wrath will not be upon the Jew. And Jesus will not be able to refrain himself any longer, because he's wanted so much for his brethren to see his glory. This was one request that Jesus made as a natural man when he walked the earth. He looked at the Jews which spit upon him and despised him. He said, Father, let these be there beholding my glory on that day. He wanted them to see him in his glory just as they had saw him in his shame. And he's not going to be able to refrain himself any longer. Now that the blood is lifted off the Jew, God will turn back to the Jew, because his wrath will not abide upon him. And because the Catholics or the Roman powers say we are guilty of it, God will turn his wrath upon the Antichrist. Is that right? And he will accept the Jew. And Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will receive the Jew be but the resurrection of life from the dead? That's what I'm saying. So we're getting mighty close to the end. Now then, with these things, we see this happening. We see these things happening. God is doing these things. That means that those three in one that was dissected at Calvary will come back together. And we will have all three baptisms, which is really one baptism. And that baptism will come to Jesus' name. Remember, when a child is born, there's water, blood, and spirit. Is that right? You can't have a child born just by water. If you preach baptism in Jesus' name just in water, and you leave off the blood and the spirit, you might as well quit and waste your time. And if you preach the blood and leave off the baptism in Jesus' name and the spirit, you might as well quit. And if you just teach the infilling of the Holy Ghost and don't teach water baptism in Jesus' name, you might as well quit, because the Holy Ghost won't come in except through the name Jesus Christ, which is baptism. So then you don't get the Holy Ghost unless it comes in his name. Now, water, blood, and spirit, the child is born. It forms in the womb, and when the water breaks, then come forth the child. Now then, you know and I know that the headship is always born first, and the physicians always bring the child forth by the head. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And so then the headship was Jesus Christ at Calvary, and with the members of his body in particular. The headship come forth first. The water broke, is that right, in the days of Noah, and the world went into a great travail. And then the headship come forth as the blood was spilt, and then immediately after that at Pentecost, which was killed out to be manifested in the last day of the year, the Spirit entered into the child, and the child was alive. Is that right? The Spirit enters into the body after it's born, and then the last thing they do is name the child. Is that right? And his name is Jesus. For the church shall be called Jesus for the members of his body in particular. And we're coming to the age of the naming right now. That's right. You know that when a bride takes her husband, she takes his name. Is that right? Now, many people have prepared for the great occasion of the wedding. Is that right? They went through every ritual that the bride has. They've done everything, but right down to the wedding, the last thing is to take his name. And they've rejected the name because of the shame that was placed upon the name. But these that are the bride not only adorn themselves and come to the straight aisle, but they also take the name of their husband to become one with him. That's what's going to determine the real thing, is the one that takes the name. All of them went through the same rituals. They've made themselves ready. They've been religious. They put on the garment and all these kind of things. But when it comes to the name, they leave off the name. Now you say, well, what is the name, Brother Pike? The Bible teaches the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the garment of the saints, the wedding garment. It is the righteousness of the saints. And the Bible said his righteousness, we are made his righteousness while he was made our sin and death. We are made his righteousness in life. That is the wedding garment of the saints. And without that righteousness, the Bible said we were bound hand and feet and cast me out of bounds. And we're coming to right now in this revelation. I wish we had time to go into these things. All right, now then, getting just one little portion of it tonight to where we can kind of stay with the family tree and explain this maybe in the next service, maybe Sunday morning. Just stay with us a little bit right here, and then we'll try to quit here because we couldn't possibly go into these other things. All right, now, how do you understand what I'm saying here? That the child is born, and then the life enters into the child. Is that right? The life enters into the child. There's some things that we could say about this, but we better not say them here tonight. Now the life enters into the child, and this child is then made fully whole. The water, the blood, and the spirit. And so then in this day, the child, remember the child,
Now, I want you to get this real clear. The child has been born. Is that right? He's been born. We've had the water of Noah's day. We've had the blood of Jesus' day. And we had a preview of Pentecost, which was carried out to the last day. And the Spirit is about to enter into the child. Now then, when the Spirit enters into the child, what happens? The Bible says the woman had her foot upon the moon. Is that right? The 13th chapter of Revelation? Or the 12th chapter of Revelation? She had her feet upon the moon. We're emphasizing right now the footprints upon the moon. Is that right? Shepherd going up there, emphasizing the footprints upon the moon. God sent her right over here, emphasizing the footprints upon the moon. Right at this particular time, the Bible said in Revelation, when the child was born, it was caught up to God's throne. Is that right? Immediately, Jesus said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world, translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God, and you live with Christ in God, in the heavens are received under the tower of restoring of all things. That is, you're translated into the kingdom of God, caught up to his throne immediately after your new birth. And so then the child here, remember, when the members come together here, the Spirit will enter back into that body of that dead child, so to speak, as it was with the resurrection here, and immediately after Jesus was resurrected, he went over to the Mount of Olives and he was caught up to the throne. Is this right? So then, when the church gets full of the Spirit in this hour, and the Spirit rolling into the child, right over here, then the church will be raptured. That will be it, for the Father will take the child into his arms, caught up to the kingdom of God. And so then we see, here coming through the water, we come through the blood, and then we come over to this age we're in where the Spirit will enter in the child, and the child will be brought to a living, brought to a place of life, and to a living an image, and then with this, the child will go right up on it. And they didn't kill him, he was protected. See, a type of the church, a place prepared for them for times, time and out of time. The Catholic Church will think that they are part of them and they will not destroy them. This is the place prepared for the church, but they will come out when they see the nail prints of Jesus Christ. Right there in the Catholic, and when the Pope tries to make them take the number, then they'll turn away from him. Now watch and see. And so the child was raptured, which is the man child. He ruled with a rod of iron, the word of God, at the time the woman had her feet on the moon. Then came the mysteries of the revelation, the translation, the revelation, and the rapture. Then it came at that time, and the child was caught up in his throne, and the rest of the world went into that natural confederation of churches. All right? An international thing, which is the word, was prepared for the church for time and a half, and the child is raptured up at that time, and the church goes into the wilderness, and then the Antichrist, thinking the church is swallowed up, can't find it, don't know who to go get it, goes to make war with the remnant of the sea, which is the Jew. That's the war where the Jews have to flee into the mountains away from Antichrist. Now then, we're going to stop right here because there's so much more that needs to be said, and we'd like to say it, but if we go on, we'd probably skip things above. Now I'm talking real fast in these things, and I hope that I've said something that might prove to be beneficial to you in some things that you might understand here. It has not been on the record or on the tape here, and with the diagrams that's coming out in a little book called Spiritual Conquest that will help you understand some of these things. I trust that something's been said to your benefit tonight. Let's stand together, please. Praise the Lord. Forgive me for talking so fast, but I have to do this through these preachings, or I never even get a fragment in to where you could get it. I have prayer for the sick, we usually do, and the other night we had prayer for the sick, and had a wonderful time, and we will have it over the weekend for the sick and for the needy, and you come back, pray for us, and be with us, and let's bow our heads together now to give you a chance to go a little earlier tonight. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, we're coming to the close of another service tonight. We're so grateful for these, Lord, that have driven over from Athens in the bad weather to be with us. May thy richest blessings rest upon them, Lord. And, oh God, these are the precious people that so sweetly and willingly gather together night after night, Lord, to hear these teachings. May their minds and hearts be thoroughly indoctrinated with thy great love and understanding, Father. Lord, these have died for their own souls that they might live in Christ Jesus. May they be blessed. May they be healed. And, oh God, may every need be met. We ask you to grant this in Jesus' name.